Callis, I'm going to ask you to fade the music down real quick, and then you can fade it back up in a second, all right?
We did a bad job with the clock right there. We did a bad, bad job with the clock right there.
Oh, yeah. All right, you can fade the music back up. Bill Cowher was on the Dan Patrick Show, and we were talking about this on Monday. Why would Mike Tomlin not name a starting quarterback after the preseason finale? Everybody else is doing it. If your friend jumps off a bridge, would you do it too? I don't know. Everyone else is doing it. You know the answer is Russ Wilson. Why didn't you announce it? Well, Bill Cowher has a theory.
Because it's two different styles of quarterback. Why give someone a little extra time to prepare? I think you're preparing for Russell Wilson. You can see that, you know, he's going to stay in the pocket. He's not looking to run. He's looking to throw down the field. Justin Fields is an element in the running game. He's another guy that he's an option. So I think it's just doing it from a strategical standpoint. And obviously you're going down with Arthur Smith, his first game at Atlanta, where he just came from. And so I think Russell will be the starter, and I think it'll be a package of plays that you'll have for Justin Fields. And you see how that evolves through the course of the season.
You buy that?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. As soon as I heard that, it's the first time I've heard that, that made a lot of sense. From a coach's mentality, yes, you strategically and not showing your cards, that makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. But I think people understand that, and other teams are smart, that it's going to be Russell Wilson. So, and you're going to prepare for packages of Justin Fields, but that does make some sense.
It would make more sense to me. It does make sense. Mm-hmm. It would make more sense to me if it's week three, and both guys played in week two,
mm-hmm.
and this would fit more in college because you don't really see a lot of this in the NFL, but after the game week two, you don't announce who your quarterback's going to be because you only have a week to prepare, and you're going to get the game plans in on Tuesday. You're going to give it to your players on Wednesday, and now you don't know which quarterback it's going to be, but you've got, from the end of that final preseason game all the way up to September 8th now, which we're talking about, 11 days? Where you've got time to prepare for both guys. Now you have time to prepare for both quarterbacks, and I think you were probably, like you said, going to prepare for both quarterbacks either way. That might be something that Mike Tomlin thinks about. You're always looking for a competitive advantage. And we see this in college all the time. It drives me nuts, but it is perfect for the pettiness of college football. Like last year, James Franklin wouldn't release a depth chart.
Right.
We see it all the time. No depth charts. Things like that. Because, we want to keep them guessing who's playing where. Even Pat Narduzzi with the or at quarterback. You want to keep them guessing. You want that little extra edge. So I do understand it. I know that Justin Fields and Russell Wilson are different players too. And the offense would be different with each guy. But how much different could it really be? Like, you still got your offense. Like, you might do some more read option stuff with Justin Fields. How much would it really change between the quarterbacks, do you think?
You would just have to prepare more for the run.
Just initially. An extra guy to account for with
extra
Fields.
Guy to account for. But you're already going to do that if you do see him in the game. But if he's in the game the whole entire time and he's the starting guy, like, your game plans and your thought process, your base defense will be different than what it would be against Russ. So it would change a lot. Doing a package and seeing him run on the field or seeing some signals where he's going to go into the game, and then you kind of replicate that with your defense. All right, we're sending in this package, the Fields package, to stop him on defense, is different than our whole game plan is surrounded around Justin Fields, and he could throw. It's not like he's like a runner back there, a wildcat quarterback. Like, he could throw. Like, that would change a lot. It would.
I don't want to see a package for Justin Fields. I don't want to flirt with any quarterback controversy. I want Justin Fields to be in a position to succeed when he is the Steelers starting quarterback, if and when he ever becomes the Steelers starting quarterback. I want the line to have gelled. I want him to land in a place where it's never easy, but it's easier to play quarterback. And I don't want there to be, when I play my first home game in Acrisure Stadium, boos ringing down on Russell Wilson. And I think you invite that with Justin Fields. However, if they're going to do that, against my judgment, I'd like to see sometimes both quarterbacks on the field at the same time. If they're going to do it. Again, I wouldn't do it. But if you are going to do it, get as cutesy and weird with it as possible.
Yeah.
Like, why not have Justin Fields in motion? Why not have Justin Fields in the backfield? You can be creative. I'm not talking about 5, 6, 7, 8 plays a game once or twice. Give him something to think about.
Yeah.
Why not? Mm-hmm. If you're going to do it, that makes some sense to me.
Yes.
Because, you know, third and one, fourth and one, red zone, those seem to be the situations that people are calling for it in. I want Russ out there setting up the blocking schemes on a short yardage situation, maybe audibling to a pass if he needs to because they're stacking the line, something like that. In the red zone, Russ was very good last year, 20 touchdowns, one interception. Unless you're going to get super weird and freaky with it, I don't know that there'd be a situation that I would prefer Justin Fields to be on the field over Russell Wilson right now. I really don't.
I wonder how much he is willing to do, though. Like, I would love to know that question. Like, are you willing to be a running back, a sidecar next to Russell Wilson? Are you willing to play receiver? Like, I don't know. He might be like, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
for a player too.
Yeah, let me get in there. Let me get a part of the mix. I don't know, or because there's quarterbacks who are like, I'm just a quarterback. You know, like even Lamar Jackson did that when he was coming out of college. Like, I am not running a 40 because I know you're thinking about moving me into receiver. I am a quarterback. I don't know how Justin Fields thinks at this point in his career. Does he want to show all his dynamic ability and his athletic ability, or is he like, I'm a quarterback and I just want to go in there and be a quarterback whenever my chance comes?
Well, we know what Cowher would do. Cowher would have him all over the place.
Yeah, he'd slash.
He'd be slash.
2.0.
I'm not even talking like that, like, oh, you're a wide receiver. I'm talking like, and I'm happy you bring up Lamar Jackson, because the first year where Lamar Jackson was there, it was only 9 games in before they finally turned the offense over to Lamar Jackson. Before that, he would be on the field with Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And then they'd have Flacco run out. And I always kind of hated that with Flacco because he's an athlete. He's an NFL player, but he's not a threat. I just saw someone post, one of these football accounts post yesterday, a hilarious moment where Mark Sanchez was split out. Why? Did you see that one? Yeah. And the corner goes bang, and he freaks out. I think the Jets are up 16 points or something like that. You're just putting something on film, and Mark Sanchez about pooped his pants. Russ, I think if you had both guys, and we're just having fun with this, if Russ is your quarterback, but you also have Justin Fields on the field in the huddle, now the defense is going, all right, what's going on?
What's going on?
And if Justin Fields splits out wide, you're really thinking he's much more than just a decoy. But he could be a decoy.
Right.
Because you're thinking, all right.
You're playing full speed. Like
you're not
just kind of glancing over like, okay, like I'm gonna just move in a little bit and just let him, you know, just be out there by himself. Like I'm thinking I'm going to cover him.
Yeah, he could run a stutter and go. Yep. Like he's the best athlete on the field. So you have to account for that. And then if you do a little switch-a-ma-doodle there and you got Justin Fields taking the snap and Russ Wilson has to run out wide, you still have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's Joe Flacco going to do?
Nothing.
If Joe Flacco motions into the backfield, you have a defensive lineman run with his ass.
Right.
But Russ, still a good athlete, not what he was, but still a good athlete in Justin Fields. I'm saying I wouldn't do it, but if you are going to do it, you might as well trick it out, man, and make it as goofy as possible.
And I honestly think that they will. I think that, why not? I really do think that they will explore that and go down that route and let him do some different things. And, you know, I said to even like last week, you know, third and one, I was on that kind of, but now it's like, yeah, Cordell, you have so many guys that can do so many different things, and then you don't have a receiver room that you feel comfortable about. And I'm putting words in their mouth, but I'm sure that they feel the same way. You know, we have what we have. We got to utilize everything. I mean, that's what I would do if I was Arthur Smith. I'm like, look, okay, I got all these guys that can do different things. There's only 11 positions. We're going to use these guys and the athletes to their best ability, and I'm going to get really creative and have some damn fun with
them. I'm with you. Cause, I mean, think about this, man. Like the last 2 years, the offense has been putrid. Putrid, putrid, putrid. Worst in the NFL, or at least among the worst in the NFL. This year, I'm expecting, hopefully, an offense that's flirting with average. But can you throw Justin Fields out there for a couple of snaps? Again, I wouldn't do it. But can you throw Justin Fields out there for a couple of snaps and steal a first down here and there? Because the defense that is prepared for traditional offense and is cramming just to learn what's going on. And you're trying to think about, if you're Atlanta, you're looking at tape from last year.
Yes.
You're looking at tape from 2020. And then you're looking at Steelers tape from last year because you're trying to get with the personnel. You're already thinking about all that. And now you throw this other wrinkle out there. Can you buy a first down or two? So Yeah, I mean, there is some value there. I wouldn't do it. You risk injury to Justin Fields too, but I can see the merit. And when a guy like Bill Cowher, when a guy like you say you could see it, then I think I have to take it seriously. All right, coming up next, ESPN interviewed 103 NFL players about quarterbacks. Did you see this?
I just did.
It's really good. Who's the most overrated quarterback according to players? Who's the best quarterback according to players? Where's Russell Wilson and Justin Fields fall in all this? We'll let you hear about it when we come back, and we'll react to it when we return. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You could text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you could tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Ray Fittipaldo going to join us at 8 o'clock, Steelers Insider. He'll be on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It is list season as we approach the NFL season. Not much going on between yesterday at 4 when all the rosters got cut down through next Thursday when the season is going to kick off between the Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. So you're going to have lists come out, and ESPN pulled 103 players in the NFL and asked them a series of quarterback questions. And I found this fascinating. I don't know that all these players are always going to take it seriously, but I would rather it be players who are pulled on these kind of things than analysts, scouts, things of that nature. So 103 players, and the first question was, who's the GOAT? Brady or Mahomes? 85 dudes said Brady, 7 said Mahomes. That makes sense to me.
Yes.
I think you can squint and maybe not even squint and see Mahomes one day maybe being the best.
Yes.
But you got to knock Brady off that pedestal.
And Mahomes wasn't able to do that.
That could be
literally
the ultimate tiebreaker, man.
Yes. And Brady was with a different team.
And Brady did it. How about Rodgers? He's in the NFC. Things are good. Not the same quarterback depth over there as in the AFC. And then all of a sudden, bang, Tom Brady comes over, beats your ass in the championship game, and then goes and beats Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes, the most talented quarterback of all time, and he's a winner. He's got a good case to be number two probably already. If his career ended today, if he just said, you know what, I got enough money, I'm just done, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, there's no doubt about that. But Brady beating Mahomes, how can I ever go against a guy that won 7 if the other guy doesn't win more? And if he wins the same, even if he looks better doing it, the old dude beat you when mm-hmm. he wasn't in his prime.
Right.
You're in your prime. And he's 40 years old? Ultimate tiebreaker, I think.
Yep.
It'd be like if Michael Jordan yeah. Yeah, beat LeBron James. Yeah. Here are the quarterbacks, how they ranked them as the top three in the league. These 103 players. This, of course, ESPN.com. Mahomes, the best quarterback in football. Number two, Lamar Jackson. Number three stuns me. Because my vote would have been different, though I don't play.
Mm-hmm.
They put Burrow.
I was going to say that.
Josh Allen, 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aaron Rodgers, 5th. I'm not surprised Mahomes is 1. Duh. I'm not surprised Jackson is 2 because you've said it a million times. Even though the guy won a Super Bowl, he's won 2 MVPs. He's the hardest probably quarterback to prepare for in the NFL. And I always love when, and I know the Steelers have had their success against him, but after the first couple years, the league's starting to figure out Lamar. You can't figure out speed.
No.
You might know what they're going to do. Doesn't mean you can stop it.
Exactly.
He's the fastest quarterback of all time. Burrow at 3 is stunning to me. I thought the Bills last year, particularly with how injured they were down the stretch, Josh Allen was their football team. Josh Allen's going to be their football team this year.
But he doesn't have that ultimate clutch gene, I think, that people have seen with Burrow to get them there only in, like, what, 2-3 years of being in the league?
A good point by you, and Burrow has had success against Kansas City.
Yes.
Whereas Josh Allen came up short. And see, that's the thing, though. Like, the 13 seconds game in the divisional round, I put that way more on McDermott than I do on Josh Allen.
Yeah, but at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, they count dubs and L's.
Yep.
Which rookie quarterback will have the most successful career?
Man. Trying to think. I don't know. Who do you have on the Jaden Daniels?
Jaden Daniels finished second, but only 4 votes away from Williams, who got 34.
Okay.
So Williams was number 1. Caleb Williams, of course, for Chicago. Daniels, 2. Daniels is my pick. I think Daniels is going to have a really good career.
So do I.
I do think Caleb Williams is in a position to succeed, though. Like a big position to succeed. They got all kind of weapons in Chicago real quick. Poor Justin Fields, though he had his chance. Most overrated quarterback.
This is the one I saw.
Number 1, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I know he turns the football over a ton, but the MVP season that Cam Newton had, he's done it for a few years. Like, he runs like Cam Newton. He punishes people. There's not a throw on the field he can't make. He does turn the football over, but he's also going to make your jaw drop a bunch of times. I don't know how Josh Allen could be overrated at all.
Well, players measure one thing, and we just talked about it. It's W's and L's. And if you have you want your quarterback to be able to elevate you to at least get a chance and opportunity to play in the Super Bowl, and the quarterbacks that you've named have done that for their teams. Cam Newton did that for his team.
Good point.
Josh Allen, you know, hasn't, you know, really come close. You know, Joe Burrow has done it. Lamar Jackson hasn't, but he has a different element of a game that he brings to the table. But whenever players look around and you're judging the quarterback position, it is always wins and losses. As a player, can that quarterback get me to the dance?
Mm-hmm.
Or can you not? And then if you can't, then yeah, you are overrated.
That makes it weird then that Hurts is second for most overrated quarterback, because they did go to the Super Bowl. Now, great line, great skill position guys, the tush push, incredibly difficult to defend. He was the second most overrated according to NFL players.
But he wasn't the first because he did go to the Super Bowl.
Right. So that breaks the tie in your opinion. Tua Tagovailoa tied for second, which makes a ton of sense to
me.
He didn't take off until you give him Tyreek Hill. Other top vote getters, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy. Nobody has mentioned Russ Wilson or Justin Fields in any of these lists. And I actually think that's not a great sign, because I think the Steelers quarterbacks are just total afterthoughts in the league.
Yeah, they're not the top tier guys.
Right. They're not even being mentioned as overrated, meaning that they've had some sort of like recent success. Top vote getters for most underrated: Purdy, Stafford, Kirk Cousins. Get the hell out of here. My man's made a bajillion dollars. Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Bryce Young. You can't say Bryce Young's underrated. He did nothing last year, not all his fault, but come on. Especially when you got C.J. Stroud walk up in there and do what he did last season.
Yeah.
Who was an MVP candidate for a large portion of the year.
I think like all time, like Matt Stafford might go down as the most underrated quarterback.
I can buy that.
All time. Like, he never gets his flowers. I mean, he did obviously win a Super Bowl, but like, for what he had to endure in Detroit and still stay somewhat healthy, and I mean, he was getting mauled and throw and put up the stats and put up numbers, and then goes to a different team and then wins a Super Bowl. Like, he will always go down as the most underrated quarterback, and people don't know how significant he is at playing that position.
They
because
won,
there's so many other guys that actually just do it.
Right.
And people love.
They played big games in Detroit with him at quarterback for the first time in a really long time. And then obviously the roster, the coaching staff got better once he left. So Jared Goff gets to have the fruit of all that labor.
He might be number 2.
He's tied for 3rd, Jared Goff.
Yeah.
I do think he's underrated.
Yep.
I do think Stafford's the better player. And you saw what Goff did in a great quarterback-friendly system with Sean McVay, but then Stafford goes in there and takes that thing up to a different level. And I thought last year they were going to be horrific, and they weren't. And I think a lot of credit needs to go to McVay, but obviously a lot of that credit needs to go to Stafford. All right, we've gone very long on this, but here were the top vote getters for the biggest trash-talking quarterback. Josh Allen 1, Baker Mayfield 2, Aaron Rodgers 3, Mahomes, Burrow, and C.J. Stroud all got votes.
I'm him. Remember that clip of Mahomes? I'm him. I'm him.
I think that might be a secret to his success, is you can't take him seriously because you figure someone's got their hand up his rear end and operating him as a Muppet.
Oh, yeah, guys. Go Chiefs.
I can't do it. I tried my best. Baker Mayfield once grabbed his crotch walking out onto the field for a coin toss against then, I think, Kansas. Winless Kansas. Yeah. I don't think Kansas had won a game. He walks out there, he's grabbing his crotch. All-time great trash talk. It's one of the reasons I wanted him to stick in Cleveland for a while, because I thought if he had success there, he'd be a perfect villain for Steelers fans
yes.
to hate.
Yes.
But now I find myself rooting for Baker Mayfield because they really screwed him over there, and Deshaun Watson's a piece of trash human being. This quarterback coverage on The Fan presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So we all believe here in the Pittsburgh local media that Russell Wilson will be the Steelers' starting quarterback. How short is the leash? Adam Schefter may have been told something. We'll let you hear from Schefty. We'll react when we come back. Before we hear what Adam Schefter has heard about Russell Wilson, we got a text. If the Steelers want to run the ball, they should be signing Michael Burton today, fullback who's been top-rated blocking fullback last few seasons via PFF, won a Super Bowl with KC, plus a special teams guy. Never underestimate a Steelers fan's want for a nice fullback, Doran.
Correct.
Always going back to the future for Steelers fans. Yep. Get me Dan Kreider.
Yes.
You want to run the ball, you get me Dan Kreider.
Mm-hmm. John Whitman.
Oh, good pull. Give me an all-star.
Tim Lester.
Here. Timmy Lester. It's a really
R.I.P.
What?
Yeah.
When?
I don't know, like 10 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. What? Not that.
What?
I'm sorry.
I know.
I don't mean that. I do not obviously love that Tim Lester has passed away. I love that Steelers fans are like, okay, you don't have Brandon Ayuk. Our wide receiver core is awful. Cornerback, thin there. Probably need another outside linebacker. All legitimate worries, legitimate issues. But you know what's going to fix everything? You know what's going to get the Steelers back to their glory days of the 1970s and the 2000s? We got to get ourselves a fullback.
Yes.
That PFF says is the best blocking fullback in the NFL. But we don't trust PFF because they say Myles Garrett's better than TJ Watt. So what is it? Can you just do the rest of this segment? I got to find a way to get my foot out of my mouth here, Doran.
I love that.
Oh, Tim Lester died? Love that. What tremendous news that is. Dear God. Adam Schefter on Russ.
All right, Adam, with the preseason now complete, is there any reason to think that Russ won't be the starter week one?
That continues to be the popular thinking, Laura, until we're told otherwise. And again, we heard Mike Tomlin say at the beginning of the preseason, right before training camp, that Russell Wilson was in the pole position. He did have the setback during the summer, did have the calf injury, but he did start one series this past week and was taken out right after. It was a productive series. And you would think that there was nothing in there that would make you think that he's lost that job now to Justin Fields. The key is going forward, if in fact it is Russell Wilson, as many people expect it to be, then he has to play well enough and win often enough to be able to hold that job, to not have this whole conversation come up on a regular weekly basis. But again, I think he's excited about the challenge ahead. He feels re-energized in a new city with a new franchise, and he's looking forward to seeing what he can do against the Atlanta Falcons, assuming he is named the starting quarterback.
Just so many qualifiers in there from Schefter. What we've heard, what we think, assuming, yada, yada. Look, I don't think Russ is going to be named the starting quarterback only then for us to continue to revisit that week in and week out. Like Schefter says he needs to play well enough, win enough, that we're not going to say every week that it's still a quarterback competition. I would imagine, knowing what we know, which is Russ is going to be the guy, they're going to give him some rope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going to give him a long leash. You're not. It's not going to be two games. It's not going to be three games. I know that Tomlin did that game three with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. Totally different situation. Now, it's different in a couple of different ways. Justin Fields got a lot more work with the ones than Kenny Pickett ever did. But mostly because of the injury to Russ Wilson. So that changes things. Also, when you're not playing well, and you got a rookie quarterback that you just invested in sitting on the bench, there's going to be some pressure there. Russ Wilson was the first quarterback they acquired this offseason. They didn't really have plans to have Justin Fields be even on this roster until they felt like Kenny Pickett wanted to get out of here. Russ is going to get at least until the bye week, I think.
Yes.
Unless it's like crazy bad. Unless they start out 1-7 or something like that. It would not make sense to, after two games, to pull the plug on Russ when he was the guy that you had earmarked to be your quarterback pretty much the entire offseason.
And, I mean, he protects the football. So, like, if there was a chance, it would be because he turns the football over, and that's what Russ doesn't do. So, like, he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the guy until dire, like, at the last second of, you know, all right, we're hanging on for hope here with Russ. Then maybe, but, like, I don't even see it getting to that point.
You know that nationally, if Steelers go out, they lose like 21-20 and the offense doesn't look great, that'll be the national talking point. But I don't think internally Mike Tomlin will be thinking, okay, we lost to Atlanta, offense didn't look good, oh my gosh, we got to weigh our options here. I don't think it'll be like that.
Uh-uh.
I don't think it'll be 2 weeks and like that. I don't think it'll be 3 weeks and like that, 4 weeks and like that. I don't see that. That'll be the national talking point. It will not be the talking point within the Steelers facility, right or wrong. It just won't be. Tim Lester, by the way, passed away January 12th, 2021. And I'm very sorry to hear that. Just want to make that clear.
So it wasn't 10 years ago. It was 3 or 4.
Yeah. Doran, you really look silly.
Well, I don't.
This segment that absolutely looks silly. You thought it was a decade ago.
You liked it.
Boy, that's an all-timer.
I love that.
That's an absolute all-timer non sequitur there from me. Just Hall of Fame of that guy sounds like a complete jackass idiot. All right, coming up next, let's take our first look at college football, at Pitt, at the local teams. When we come back, Ray Fittipaldo talking all things Steelers at 8 o'clock. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Ray Fittipaldo going to join us coming up in 10 minutes. Any surprising cuts Steelers made? What are they going to do with wide receiver? Is the Aiyuk thing dead? All right, if so, who are they going to turn to? We'll get to all of it with Ray coming up at 8 o'clock. But as we get closer to the weekend and closer to real local college football, we've spent very little time on that on our show. And I feel like we're going to ramp it up tomorrow, and then we're going to have Bostic in for 2 hours on Friday to get into it in all its glory. But how about a little early peek, Doran?
Yes.
The Pittsburgh Panthers have two quarterbacks listed as their starter. You got the or in between. And I'm not clearly as close to the program as you are. Your read. Is this, we don't know who's our quarterback, or both guys have performed well enough that they both merit consideration to be the starting quarterback?
I think it's the second option. They really like Nate Yarnell, and they like what he did at the end of the season and taking control of this team throughout the offseason while you were getting a new offensive coordinator in Cade Bell. And then you have the transfer and Eli Holstein come in and perform just as well. So I think this is a good situation going into this year, not like last year where you had Veyer, you had Phil, and you just didn't know, and both guys weren't really impressing as much and didn't know where to go. This is a situation where they will find out who the guy will be after Saturday. Saturday is the true, legit evaluation of who will be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season. They won't flirt with going back and forth. They will pick one guy, and I don't know how the rep count will be on Saturday, but I would assume that both guys will get equal amount of reps being the starting quarterback or the guy that goes in second on Saturday, and that's where they'll use their true evaluation of who will be the guy this year.
A lot of times when teams open with a MAC school, and I think Pitt's a 24.5-point favorite, you're not going to show a lot. I wonder if that'll be the same here. I mean, you got Cade Bell, first game he's calling the offense. It is a massive change to the offense that they ran the last couple of years with Cignetti. You think they're going to show a lot? I mean, you don't want to show everything. You got a big game against Cincinnati, then a big game against West Virginia the following 2 weeks. But I think you need that to be another opportunity to sort of perfect the craft.
Yeah, you need to show enough. You need to show enough and get that true evaluation within yourself and then your true evaluation going against somebody else. So I think that Cade Bell has a lot of plays and a lot of designs and a lot of ways that he wants to run his offense. So with the question of will they show a lot? Yes, because there is even more. There's more to be had. So I think that they'll show enough that they're satisfied internally, but it'll be very satisfying for the fans because they will show a different dynamic each time that they do have the ball that will show a lot. But to Cade Bell, that's not his whole entire landscape of calling
sure.
plays, if that makes
sense. It makes a ton of sense. Yeah. And I think the biggest question for me this year is just how quickly can that offense get up to speed? Because, and I've said this before, the back half of Pitt's schedule, really the final eight games of Pitt's schedule, there are wins to be had.
Mm-hmm.
If the offense can be playing at a fairly high level early or as close to its ceiling as possible early, that's how you can have a really good season, I think. If the offense is going to take time coming along, I still think Pitt can be a bowl-eligible team, but that to me is the biggest question. Just how fast can that offense click? To me, that's my biggest wonder going into the season for Pitt. Because I think the defense,
yep.
Pat Narduzzi is going to figure out the defense. I know you lose Charlie Partridge, and that's a big loss. Like, I don't think there's any way around that. But that's a loss that you have over the course of the offseason where I think it makes its biggest mark. And then in recruiting, stuff like that. I think Pat Narduzzi is going to find a way to have a competitive, good defense on the field this year.
Yes.
So what can the offense do? And if the offense is average to above average with what Pat Narduzzi could do with defense, I think that's how you wind up having a good year.
Yeah, they'll have a chance. It's going to come down to the quarterback. So as we wrap this up and kind of come full circle, like which quarterback can operate the offense the best?
Yeah.
And we'll see that Saturday.
I'm excited to watch. I'm going to have to watch on delay.
Yep.
Because I'll be in Morgantown, where yesterday that line in that game came all the way down to Penn State -7.5.
Mm-hmm.
It opened up around 12. It ballooned to 15 this offseason. Drops yesterday to 7.5. Now it's at 8. It's going to be a close game, I think. Yeah. I do.
I believe you. I mean, I'm anxious to see Drew Aller. I talked to Coach Palko the other day and asked him about him. And he possesses, and this is what he's telling me, he possesses all the traits to be an NFL quarterback. Just needs to fine-tune some things and has been looking good from what he says throughout this offseason and training camp. So I'm anxious to see if Drew Aller has that gene that we were talking about, overrated, underrated NFL quarterbacks. Does he have that gene to win those big games, to vault Penn State to being actually legit?
Man, and I'm totally serious on it. People think I'm going to come on here and torch Penn State, something like that. Drew Aller did not play well, and their offense didn't play well against Michigan and Ohio State. Okay. A lot of teams didn't play well against Michigan and Ohio State last year. Michigan, by the way, cheating a little bit, and they won the national championship. Pretty good football team. A lot of players go to the NFL, including the head coach. Did such a good job and wanted to get out of Dodge. He goes to the NFL. I don't think it's some great sin that Drew Aller struggled the most against those teams. He had his first starting experience last year, throws 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Now, yards per attempt, wasn't throwing the ball down the field, I understand that, protected the football and threw 25 touchdowns, rushed for a few more. In his first real starting experience, I know he was the highest-rated quarterback recruit in the country, and so the expectations are through the roof. But for his first year to do that,
pretty good.
I think that's pretty good. I think Drew Aller's got a chance to be really good. I think they hired a great offensive coordinator. I think Penn State, it'll be a massive disappointment for their fan base if they're not in the college football playoff this year. And you don't have to play, I forget which one. They're not playing either Ohio State or Michigan.
Right. I think it might be Michigan.
I think you're right, and I think they have Ohio State at home. I think that's the case. And even if you don't win the Big Ten, you find a way to win 10 games. You're going to the college football playoff. I think the Drew Aller stinks narrative has kind of gotten out of the barn and gone too far. He needs to improve. But I think Drew Aller had a great year in basically what amounts to being a freshman.
They don't play Michigan.
Okay, so they play Ohio State.
At home.
At home. So, hey, future's now. You better get it done, James Franklin. All these three programs have pressure on them this year. Pitt wants to bounce back from 3-9. West Virginia feels like they could take a step into conference title consideration. And Penn State, frankly, if they don't make the college football playoff, it's a failure. Tons of pressure on these coaches.
Hardest schedule is obviously West Virginia.
It's brutal, man.
To start the season here on Saturday, you've got Penn State, and then we went through a little bit yesterday where you have like almost back-to-backs of top 25 opponents. You know, you got back-to-back, and then you have, I don't even know who you have. You have a non-ranked team, then you have back-to-back ranked teams, then you have a non-ranked team. Like, that's a gauntlet to go through.
With the exception being Pitt, all their toughest games are at home, though,
mm-hmm.
which I think helps.
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State's on the road, yeah. And they're going to lose that game. They always do. So, tough schedule. All teams got pressure. We'll get more into it over the next couple of days, and we'll have a big college football day, I think, on Friday with Pat Bostick coming in here for a couple of hours. Back to the Steelers when we come back. Ray Fittipaldi, our Steelers insider, going to join us after roster cutdown day yesterday. Any big surprises for Ray? We'll talk to him about that. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates, terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 94.